This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
Touchdown or Turnover is backed by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
B Dry Waterproofing Hotline, Hour 2 is brought to you by Premier Surgical and PremierSurgical.com. Touchdown Turnover, backed by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong. Better rates and better service. From cars to credit cards, boats to campers, Alcoa 10 will now pay you up to $500 for your debt. So get supercharged at Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union. That is ATFCU.com. Touchdown or turnover. Tennessee against South Carolina will put up more than 21 points. Touchdown or turnover. Will we see Butch Jones, Larry Scott go back to the drawing board during a bye week? Callaway should be okay by then.
You got to use him, though.
I know. That's why you go back to the drawing board.
I believe in his last two games, he doesn't have a catch.
I know. That's during the bye week, this is when you self-scout and you find those things out about yourself.
I will say turnover, because just looking immediately at South Carolina statistics so far this season, they are only allowing opponents 21 points, almost right on the nose, 20.8 points per game. So their defense is holding up pretty well. They're holding teams to, 125, what I'm looking at doesn't have the per game stats for their rushing and passing, what they allow. But it looks like their defense has been holding up pretty well. They only allow Texas A&M 24 points, and Texas A&M has a far, 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 far more potent offense than Tennessee.
Like 21 points is, like, that's still...
I don't know that Texas... That's not like a small number.
That's three touchdowns.
I don't know that Texas A&M has a far, 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 far more potent offense either.
Than ours?
Yes.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they absolutely
do. It's not that by that big of a margin. No, they don't.
I mean, they got Trayvon Williams, Kellen Mond's kind of coming into his own now.
Kellen Mond hasn't done a whole lot.
He's done more than our quarterbacks.
Yeah, see, I'm not... Nah, that's not what I'm saying, though. Charlie made it out to be, like...
Charlie was extra, wasn't he?
He was extra.
I thought we scored
0 points against Georgia. What do you want me to say?
This isn't like Alabama in one hand and Vanderbilt in the other. Like, Texas A&M offense is better.
It's better.
Christian Kirk, Trayvon Williams, and they use their playmakers.
Yeah, Charlie was a little overboard there.
Fine. Yeah. Fair enough. I was.
That's what I was saying.
I was being
on TV. Charlie gets out of hand.
For dramatic effect, you know, I really like to drive my points home. But they only allowed Texas A&M to score 24 points. And, yeah, I think that this defense will hold up pretty well against Tennessee. I would say, relatively speaking, Tennessee has a quote-unquote good game if they score 17 points here. Like that will be a vast improvement week to week. It will still be bad. That's horrible. You should score way more than that against South Carolina. But last year you didn't, I believe. What was the final score? 24-21? Something like that. So you were right at it last year. Your offense is way worse this season. So I will say turnover. No 21 points for Tennessee in this one.
I'm going to go touchdown. I think they score about 24, 27 points. South Carolina is 10th in the league in rushing defense, giving up 153 rushing yards per game. I think John Kelly is pissed off. I think this offensive line is pissed off. and I think they're going to come out. I think they're going to try to run with, considering that Jarrett Guarantano and or Quentin Dormady haven't really found success throwing the football to this point this year. I think that Tennessee's going to place an emphasis on running the football, and I think John Kelly will have a big game. I think they barely get past 21 points. Touchdown.
Yeah, last year's game was 21-24 South Carolina. This game has not been a high-scoring game in recent years. I'm going to go turnover. I think it's a low-scoring game. I think Tennessee can still win the game, though, if they had that coming to Jesus meeting with each other. But I don't think either team will get over that amount. Carolina does not look the same offensively without Deebo Samuel. Teams are figuring out all you have to do is stop John Kelly. What is Larry Scott going to do in the bye week? Will he make adjustments? I don't know. But I would like to see Ty Chandler use a little bit more.
Amen.
I would like to see some other guys use a little bit more, but until I see it, I don't think we're going to be able to utilize other players. So, Will Muschamp, defensive guy, he'll key in on John Kelly. And then defensively for us, I mean, I can tell the difference in our defense. I can tell the difference with Bob Shute. Even though the score may not reflect that, losing 41-0, I thought the defense did some really good things in that Georgia game.
Especially in the first half.
You know, Georgia has way, you know, more weapons than South Carolina. So I'm going to say turnover, but it doesn't mean that I don't think Tennessee can't win the game. I think they can. Will they? That's another story. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show or in the week. But I'm going to say turnover. I think they get under just because this matchup is usually a low-scoring game.
The thing that worries me about South Carolina is containing Jake Bentley. He likes to scramble around, get out of the pocket, and just chunk it deep. And against Texas A&M, against Louisiana Tech, and against NC State, those secondaries of those teams did a real poor job of keeping track of where the receivers were. So when Bentley's scrambling around in the pocket, they lose track of the receiver. Receiver gets behind the coverage and is wide open for a touchdown.
That's happened against NC State.
It happened against Texas A&M and Louisiana Tech with Deebo Samuel being out.
Their final drive against Louisiana Tech is the only reason they won the game.
Yes,
because
of Bryson Edwards.
Yeah, yep,
little jump ball. That was a great play by him.
It was. So that worries me because we saw against Georgia, Tennessee at times struggled containing from in the pocket, especially on those two rushing touchdowns. So they're going to have to contain Jake Bentley if they want to win that football game.
We got time to work on it, that's for sure. Both teams will have to get up out of the bed early, get themselves ready to play. It's a noon game. And, boy, that might affect the crowd noise, especially with everything going on with the fans and their unhappiness right now with the coaching staff and the play of the players. Memphis, that was not a good look for Coach Jones. Not having people in the crowd, not having people interact, not clapping.
If
you had a small group, so the crowd that can play a big part in the game and benefit South Carolina because it may not be as loud as it was before.
If you haven't read the story on Butch's trip to Memphis that was in, I believe, the Commercial Appeal, Jeff Calkins over there, great writer, wrote about that. He was there. It was sad.
Yeah, it was rough. I heard rough him on Bomb Bomb yesterday, too.
Yep.
Yeah, it was rough.
I got it queued up on the podcast.
Yeah, he kind of explained the scene there and how weird it was.
The writing is on the wall. Real quick, I was just going to add that in 2013 when Tennessee upset South Carolina, that kickoff was at noon, and I think the kickoff at noon really helped Tennessee because South Carolina
came
out slow.
Yes.
So with it being a home game, noon, sleep in the hotel that you're used to sleeping in, I think it could also be flipped around and be an advantage for Tennessee.
And Tennessee that week, they were coming off of that really emotional loss to Georgia, but they were feeling confident, I believe.
I think there was a bye week in between.
Was there? Okay. But I just remember the talk leading up to that game being, well, maybe Tennessee's better than we think they are because they almost beat Georgia with Aaron Murray. And they kind of caught South Carolina off guard there. But
that team believed. They played with Georgia.
100%.
They made every play to win except one. They believed at that time. And it came out, and they took it to South Carolina. South Carolina has a history of slow starts under Steve Spurrier. And this year's different, man. The team is not at the same level as they were in 13. Their belief level is not as high. And you have a new coach that may emphasize, don't get caught slipping because it's a noon game. We'll see. A lot of time to prepare for South Carolina. We got Chris Lowe coming up next here.
Can I give you as we're going out the door to Chris Lowe, a real doozy of a sheeptail we got on Twitter. It's real quick. This is your boy Hefe on Twitter sent this to us. He said, I got a dog and named him Butch. But then he said he had him for a year before he attacked one of his other dogs, and then they had to put Butch the dog down because of that. But then he followed it up and said he was still a better dog than Butch as a coach.
Oh, my gosh. Chris Lowe joins
a doozy.
Us here on the B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline. Stay with us.
Hour 2 of the Swain event is brought to you by Premier Surgical Associates. Visit PremierSurgical.com to find out about all the procedures and services they offer to help you live a better life. Premier Surgical Associates, expertise you can trust.
All right, team, listen up. It's tailgating time in Tennessee. But most importantly, team, you're going to need to supercharge that tailgate and the truck it's attached to with a refinanced auto loan from Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union with their Got Debt Supercharged promotion. They'll give you up to $500 for your debt.
Are you serious, coach?
That's right, Johnny. Alcoa 10 will pay you up to $500 for your debt. Now, let's get out there and get supercharged. Say it with me. Supercharged! Supercharged! Supercharged!
NTFCU is an equal housing lender.
Big Orange football is better alongside another Tennessee tradition, Mrs. Grissom's Salad. Mrs. Grissom's ready-made snacks and meals are perfect for game day. Crowd favorites like the select pimento cheese and cranberry pecan chicken salad are delicious and easy to grab and go right from the grocery store. Going to the game? Visit Mrs. Grissom's in Vol Village for the must-have panini grilled pimento cheese hot dog. Man, select the best. Select Tennessee's own Mrs. Grissom's.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. The next thing you know, you're being arrested for DUI. Be responsible, but remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call DUI and criminal defense attorney Marcos Garza. Put this number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty, say Garza. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
VFL's Jason Swain and Todd Kelly with another update on Smoothie King, the healthy alternative to fast food. Fitness blends, slim blends, wellness blends, and take a break blends are all on the menu at Smoothie King. In addition, we now have the delicious and nutritious coffee smoothies that will jumpstart your day and keep you running when you need an afternoon pick-me-up.
Swain, Smoothie King has been the place I can count on for a healthy meal or snack since 1999. They truly are a healthy alternative to fast food. My go-to smoothies are still the Chocolate Gladiator and the Chocolate Shredder. With the scoop of peanut butter, Smoothie King definitely helps me keep up the demands of work and a busy lifestyle.
Man, I hear you, TK. I got to stay in shape to keep up with my growing family and all that they're doing. Smoothie King helps me stay energized and ready to meet whatever the day brings. Make the sip-by-sip program part of your life. Use Smoothie King as a meal replacement 5 or more times a week, and you'll notice a difference.
Swain, you and Smoothie King are both legit. We need to get to Smoothie King right now, Swaino. I need a chocolate gladiator with some peanut butter, and I can truly say I'm a Smoothie King for life.
Smoothie King, delicious and nutritious. The healthy alternative to fast food. Don't forget the peanut butter.
It's tailgating time in Tennessee, which means you need to be calling Dead End Barbecue to make sure your tailgate is a 5-star event. They have several different packages to choose from so you can truly get something to please everyone. Whether it's pulled pork, hamburgers and hot dogs, wings, and most everything in between, Dead End has you covered. They will also be set up in Volunteer Village before every home game, so you can swing by and get a pork sandwich, house barbecue chips, or their tailgate nachos. It's a win no matter what you choose. For more info on Dead End's tailgate packages, log on to deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue, the search is over.
Did you know that 1 in 8 women in the United States will be diagnosed with breast cancer during their lifetime? October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Premier Surgical Associates urges you to encourage the women in your life to get screened for breast cancer. Early detection is key, and Premier Surgical is at the forefront of the latest technological advances in breast cancer diagnosis and treatment. Visit PremierSurgical.com to find out more about Breast Cancer Awareness Month and all of the services that they have to offer to help you live a better life. Premier Surgical Associates, expertise you can trust.
You're listening to The Swain Event.
You want the noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
What? The noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
Just hike the ball, nut job.
Swain Event fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. And I heard through the grapevine that Chris Lowe would not leave Dead End when they closed. They had to call security. Chris was trying to stick the place up for ribs and brisket, and they had to call security on Chris Lowe because he would not leave. That's how good Dead End Barbecue is. Chris Lowe joins the program via the B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline. His time is sponsored by Jerry Castile, personal injury attorney for Butler, Vines, and Babb. 865-244-3933 is his number. Chris Lowe, man, I just heard that, man. I think I heard it on the message board. Is that true? Did they call security on you?
Yeah, you know, Jason ate the other night, and it was as always, just a wonderful meal. But I tried to get your table, your special table there in the back, but George told me that's reserved only for you, so I wasn't able to get it.
Oh, man. You are Hollywood, Chris Lowe. Don't ever forget it, man. You are Hollywood.
Well, that may be, but I can tell you this. As we sat there and dined, my family, my dad, and father-in-law were in town. We sat there and watched you on television. So what's that tell you?
Anyways, Chris Lowe here on the show. I don't know what you're talking about, Chris. Rock Hill, South Carolina. Always representing Rock Hill. And there's a Rock Hill Tennessee connection more than just Chris Lowe, but my former teammate Jonathan Hefney played his butt off here at Tennessee, went on to the NFL, and then had his most productive years at the pro level in the CFL. And during the CFL, he was one of the best defensive players in the league, made himself a lot of money being a team's premier defensive player. But one day, Hefney went for a routine tackle. And if you remember how healthy he played, he was 100 miles per hour all the time. He loved football, and that's how he played the game. And 2015, he went in for a tackle, and it was a helmet-to-helmet collision, and he had 3 fractured vertebrae and nerve damage. And his team, they are not under, contract. They don't have to cover his surgeries. His insurance ran out. And so now he has a GoFundMe account. And, Chris, I want to talk about Jonathan Hefney. And did I get that close to what's going on with Jonathan Hefney? I know we talked. He was here for Orange and White weekend. He's been on the show. But I know you have been in contact with Hefney about what's going on with him right now.
Yeah, Jason, I have. I appreciate you bringing that up. Yeah, Jonathan and I go back to when he was 10 years old. My oldest son and Jonathan played Little League Baseball together. I actually coached their team. We had a lot better talent than we had a coach. I mean, let me add that. he has been... Again, I've seen him grow up. It was when he decided to come to Tennessee. It was a pretty surreal moment for me because he had a lot of people recruiting. South Carolina recruited Clemson, and I've known him since he was just a kid. His mom, his whole family, his dad, and it's been heartbreaking to see what's happened to him. His injuries is really debilitating. He can't really write with his right hand anymore. He has to write, sign things with his left hand. He's got very little use of that right hand because of this debilitating injury that was suffered after the tackle you just described. And it's not to go into great detail, but what's happened is really the CFL and his team have not stepped up, to take care of him. And he's got, I mean, he's already had, I think, one surgery. He's going to have another one. And these surgeries, those types of surgeries, as you know, are outrageously expensive. So I would ask Stan to go on, you can go on his Twitter account, you go online, you can find the GoFundMe page that has been set up to contribute to this next surgery for him. He has a hard time even playing with his nephews, his kids, with, again, doing the things that all normal dads would want to do. And, you know, Jonathan's still a young man. And it's a sad story, but he's, you know, John, as you say, Jonathan's already got a great attitude about everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's upbeat. And he knows that one way or the other, you know, with people's help and God's help, that he's going to get through this. But I think most people remember Jonathan Hefty, as you point out, just sort of a guy that plays 100 miles an hour all the time and had some great years at Tennessee. I think he was an all-SEC player at least one year and had a great career in the CFA. I was never the biggest guy as far as height, but certainly played big. So thank you for bringing that up. And I would ask him, fans out there who are listening to do what they can to help.
It's just unfortunate that the CFL not willing to step up and take care of the surgery.
Right. Yeah, Coach Former called me about it, and I know he was trying to help, and he's talked to Jonathan a couple times to see what he could do or put pressure or talk to people. So there are a lot of people that are really trying to go to bat for Jonathan here, but I think the thing that we can do right now as fans and friends and former teammates, whether it's $10 or $50 or $500, is to go into that GoFundMe account and contribute, because every little bit will help.
Well, we'll put that link out.
I actually just tweeted it out at @Charlie_Burris if you want to find it. So
we will definitely put that out and promote that.
There's actually a story. I think the Ottawa newspaper.
Yes, I'm looking at it.
Had happened to Jonathan, and you can go find that. I think on that same link or his GoFundMe account, or you can find it online. But it's a pretty detailed story about what happened to him and sort of what he's going through right now.
If you just type in Jonathan Hefty on Google, it is the first thing that comes up. So, yeah.
Well, Chris, you put together another emotional piece, you know, diving in and taking a look at how a coach on the hot seat, how that affects a coach's family. And you did that with Coach Jones and his wife. And take us through that experience.
Yeah, it was a tough assignment. I mean, this is my 30th year in the business, and I don't know if I've quite gone through anything like that on game day before, Jason. You know, when you set something like that up, that was set up weeks ago. Actually, something we talked about at ESPN before the season to try to, you know, tell a story. We want to tell different types of stories throughout the year. One of the things everybody thought when we went up and had meetings at ESPN was, hey, let's try to find a family, a wife, at a pressure-packed place where maybe the coaches, you know, because there's a ton of those guys out there that are fighting to save their jobs, you know, and tell a game day story through their eyes. And with me living in Knoxville, they said, why don't we try to, you know, we actually reached out to a couple of different coaches, and it just made sense with me living here in Knoxville to try to do Butch. And I've been gone so much on the road that this is the first week that I was going to be around and the Vols were home that it worked out. So we set up weeks ago. I mean, certainly I didn't know they were going to get beat 41-0, the worst loss in New England Stadium history. But see, Barb Jones was a great sport about it. It was pretty gut-wrenching to see what she goes through, the kids go through after a beating like that. And, you know, and I got a lot of feedback, most of it positive. Oh, hey, you know, this sheds a different perspective on it. And there have been a lot of people, too, and I understand this side of it. Well, we don't feel sorry for her or the kids because they're going to get millions of dollars whether he makes it or not, which is true. You know, but money doesn't solve everything. I mean, money doesn't ease that kind of pain when you see a loved one or somebody in your family going through that. And plus, coaches are sort of programmed to go through it. You know, really some of her most poignant comments were, you know, hey, there's two kinds of coaches. Coaches that have been fired and coaches that will be fired. And you know that as a coach getting into the profession. But it's hard to be programmed like that if you're a 10 or 12 or 15-year-old kid, and certainly if you're you're a wife and you're the one that's done all the heavy lifting, raising the family and doing all the things while the coach is out all the time coaching and recruiting and trying to develop this football team. So it was a tough assignment, but I give her all the credit in the world for being a good sport about it. And I think they're pretty, you know, they're realistic. She's realistic. The kids are realistic that it's going to be a tough climb out of this hole, but, you know, they're going to be there for their dad and their husband. And there are several friends of theirs, too, that come in. They come in on a regular basis, and nephews, you know, so friend, uncle, all the different hats that Butch wears, they're going to be there for him no matter what. But yeah, it was a pretty tough assignment sitting in that box during that just awful beatdown for Tennessee and sort of seeing that the gamut of emotions, that roller coaster really of emotions that they go through on game day.
Well, Chris, my take on all of that has been, and I want to see what you think about this, and I think this is a lot of fans also. They absolutely feel for the family, you know, Butch's wife and his kids and everything in this situation. But Butch himself, I mean, he brought it on himself. You touched on it there. He makes $11,000 a day. Frankly, I just have a very, very hard time feeling truly sorry for him. Like I said, feel sorry for his family, but for Butch himself, right. It's just tough. What's your take on that?
No, and I don't think anybody should or shouldn't feel sorry for him or anybody for that matter. I know that was never the point of the story. The point of the story is to sort of show, again, if they'd have won that game 41-0, which probably, in retrospect, was unrealistic to think they would, you know, we're still going to write the story and try to paint that picture. You know, you paint the picture for whatever happened, and what happened was it was just an epic beatdown.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think anybody should feel sorry for anybody. You, me, the Jones family. It's just, again, sort of a way to convey through a family's eyes what game day is like. You're right. They're going to be set up financially for life, regardless of whether he digs out his hole or not. But it's still real lives and real people and real emotions. And, it, you know, you try to humanize it a little bit was my goal. But I think I got a lot of that from people. Should I feel sorry? Well, no, you shouldn't feel sorry. Nobody's asked you to feel sorry. You or me or Jason or anybody. I don't think that was the point of it. The point of it was to try to tell the story of game day through a coach's family's eyes. You know, coaches are all paid outrageously. We all know that. Mm-hmm. In this day, that's the going rate. They're paid to coach and they're paid not to coach. And a lot of them get paid as much or more than any of us will ever see in our lifetime not to coach. And I think when you start looking at some of these contracts and the people that draw up these contracts, you scratch your head sometimes and wonder what people are thinking when they do it. But no, that was the point of the story. And I understand that side of it, but I think you and a lot of people are missing the point when they say, should we feel sorry? Well, no. Nobody's ever asked you to feel sorry.
Chris Lowe here on the Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Chris, what now? What happens now? Here we are on a Wednesday. Fans are looking for a change on Sunday. Didn't happen. Looking for a change on Monday. Didn't happen. I've heard you talk about this situation. You know, we've talked about it kind of behind closed doors. It is Wednesday. What do you see happening? What are you hearing about Butch Jones' job security?
You know, there's not going to be a change. I mean, so I know the fans have an appetite for a change right now. And again, I know when you ask me that question, and I've had that question like a million times, people hear what they want to hear. Just like that story, they read what they want to read. So they're going to hear me saying, I don't think there should be a change. You know, I'm not saying that. What I'm telling you is I'm answering your question honestly. There's not going to be a change right now. The people that make that decision, John Curry, the external leadership of Tennessee, you know, they don't want to make a change. There's no appetite for them to make a change right now. Now, as you know, having gone through this with Coach Fulmer, things can change. You know, in 2 weeks, in 4 weeks, you know, South Carolina comes in here and beats Tennessee down in a couple of weeks. Well, that may change. You know, they just absolutely, just say they win, they get destroyed by Alabama and then lose, I don't know, Southern Miss, Andy, Kentucky. That could change, but between now and the next time they play a football game, I don't have anybody who counts or anybody that makes the decision telling me they're going to make a change. So I think for the fans waiting over the next couple of days for the shoe to drop, you know, it's not going to happen. So that's where they are. But what I'm not saying, Jason, that he's going to make it, you know, or there's not going to be a change. I know everybody says, well, they need to fire right now and go get Chip Kelly. Well, you know what I call that? We've had this discussion. That's fantasy coach search. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Tennessee needs to swing big. They need to back the Briggs truck up. I've heard all those things. Tennessee has tried over the years to swing big. Now, sometimes they just screwed it up with coaches, David Cutcliffe, Kyle Whittingham. But they've also gone after and kicked the tires with guys like Jimbo Fisher. You know, they've gotten a lot of no's over the years. I know Tennessee fans have a hard time accepting that, but it's true. But Tennessee's not the only school that has. I mean, it's harder and harder to hire a football coach. You know, the stat that I threw out to you the other day is, you know, the last 35 head coaching hires in the SEC, which essentially takes us back to, what, 99, 2000, only three of those have been sitting head coaches at Power 5 schools. One of those, most recent, was Brett Bielema. Well, he's in trouble at Arkansas. Gene Chizik went from Iowa State to Auburn. Chizik had a losing record at Iowa State when he got that job. And the third one's Les Miles. When he went from Oklahoma State to LSU, of course, Les is no longer employed. So it's rare that you go and get a Power 5 coach in the SEC and get him to come be a head coach. That doesn't mean Tennessee can't or won't or shouldn't try. I'm not saying that at all. It's just that it's harder to do that than people think. You know, look at LSU. LSU is a better job than Tennessee. It just is. To me, it's one of the best six or seven jobs in college football. Mm-hmm. They lose a coach, or they fire a coach who won, you know, conference championships and national championships. Who did they end up with?
Ed Orgeron.
They tried to hire, you know, they tried to hire Tom Herman. Herman tried to, he played him. They tried to hire Jimbo Fisher. You know, Jimbo Fisher probably wasn't going to the bike. obviously, I mean, Stuart's being a little silly here, but it is harder. But no, I think Butch is going to have a hard time digging out of this. He's lost, gosh, 80% plus the fan base. Maybe that's a conservative estimate. Has he lost his football team? I think you can make the argument. Look at how horrible they played on Saturday. He's on the brink of doing that. But I don't think that the decision, well, I know it's not been made by the people that count. And we'll see where they go from here. Can they play better? Can they get better? Can they make the kind of changes on the staff, you know, to get this thing back? I guess we're going to find out. Here's a scenario that I see. There's no way he survives. I think if he loses, if there's any combination of a loss to, say, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Southern Miss, I don't see any way he survives that.
Chris Lowe here in the Swain Event.
Well, Chris, just on that note, sorry to interrupt, Jason, but how do you diagnose exactly why coaches don't want to come to the SEC? Because that's been
Tennessee.
A big...
Tennessee.
Either or. Both. I mean, why would a big coach not want to come to LSU compared to Tennessee? Because I guess I look at it, Tennessee would be easier to win here than LSU, and I could see a coach wanting that. You know, the West is just so much tougher with Alabama at the top. But how do you diagnose that exactly?
Well, I think a lot of coaches that have really good jobs are paid well, you know, say, well, why am I going to go to the SEC where if I'm not in the playoff or I'm not winning 10-plus games within 2 or 3 years, they're going to fire me. Now, remember, the SEC has been able to attract some big names, but they haven't necessarily been, you know, at other sitting Power 5 jobs. Saban was in the NFL when Bama got him. But you know, remember who they tried to hire before Saban, who turned Alabama down? I mean, this is one of the great stories to me. Think about the trajectory of college football, how it could have changed. Rich Rodriguez was their guy. That's who they tried to hire. He was their guy. He had told him he was coming, but basically had indicated he was coming, and he turned him down at the last minute. And then they went back and they got, you know, they'd already been trying to sort of get Saban, Saban said no. They went back to him, and this time they got him. So they had, you know, Petrino comes from the Falcons. He leaves the Falcons in the middle of the night. He goes to Arkansas. He was an NFL coach, a big name. Spurrier was out of coaching. Remember, he got fired or quit what are you going to call it, at with the Redskins. Spent a year out of coaching, and then South Carolina got him. So there are some guys like that that you know, latter part or on up into their careers at the SEC has been able to track. You know, when Arkansas got Bama, but that was, go back and think at the time, that was considered a big lick.
That was
for Arkansas,
big,
yeah. And the SEC. He'd been to, what, three straight Rose Bowls. He won three straight Big Ten championships. So I want to say that nobody ever comes to the SEC. It's just harder to get a guy who's got a good job at a power five. Gary Patterson. I'm going out to TCU to spend some time with Patterson, and I'm going to do something on Kenny Hill this weekend. And I talked to Gary. You know, everybody and their mother has tried to hire Gary Patterson over the last 8 to 10 years. You know, way he's making a lot of money. He's got a good job. He likes living there. He likes his setup. They leave him alone. You know, he had a bad year last year. Nobody's talking about firing Gary Patterson. They got a losing record. You know, but now he's come back this year and had a great year.
Yeah.
I mean, you have that kind of year at Tennessee or LSU or Georgia, Alabama.
You go.
They're ready to fire you.
Yeah.
Not necessarily at TCU. Mm. Chris Peterson, for all those years at Boise State, you know, he loved living there. He loved that program. Now he finally went to Washington. But he was never going to come south. He's more of a West Coast guy. So to answer your question, there's just fits for guys. Guys like where they are. They're comfortable. They're making a lot of money. Everybody's making a ton of money now in college football. It's not worth it sometimes for an extra million or two or three to go to the pressure cookers where, you know, if you don't produce in a year or two, and by producing, I mean win an SEC championship or at least get there every other year, you know, you're probably going to be on the proverbial hot seat.
Ed Orgeron, you mentioned Bielema, Kevin Sumlin. I'm on coacheshotseat.com. Butch Jones is number one. But four SEC coaches out of 16. And I want to take a break, Chris. I got to take a break. And I want to get you on the other side talking about Orgeron because, I mean, this is his first year. This is supposed to be, you know, the honeymoon, and it's already over losing to Troy. And Troy's a fine football program with a dang good coach and Watson Brown. But no excuse for losing to Troy if you're LSU. But I want to ask you about Orgeron and Bielema and Kevin Sumlin. But I have to take a break. Low, I got to pay some bills, man. So I want to get you on the other side.
Oh, you're going to eat ribs where you're going. I know where you're going.
I mean, I wish I had some, man, for breakfast, man. But I think you took them all. You stole them. That's why they called the police on you the other day. We used a dead end, Chris. You stole them all, man. You stole them. We'll take a break. Come back with Chris Low, ESPN, here on the Swain Event. Stay with us.
Hour 2 of the Swain Event is brought to you by Premier Surgical Associates. Visit PremierSurgical.com to find out about all the procedures and services they offer to help you live a better life. Premier Surgical Associates, expertise you can trust.
Goes your car insurance.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
By now, you know that Muya has the best burgers in Knoxville. Their beef is never frozen, they have all-natural turkey burgers and black bean veggie burgers, not to mention they make their buns in-house every day. But now, you can also get 100% all-beef hot dogs or, wait for it, all-natural chicken sandwiches. Trust me, these chicken sandwiches put chicken restaurants to shame. So stop into Muya and taste the difference. Located at 7301 Kingston Pike, right by Better Mac.
Germany is at the center of European geography, politics, and economics. The mixing of cultures that shaped Germany have created a delightful cuisine that is unsurpassed. No other East Tennessee restaurant embodies Germany's rich culinary traditions better than Restaurant Linderhof. From Oktoberfest and throughout the year, you can enjoy bratwurst, schnitzel, and other fine German dishes at our restaurant or with our catering. To see the menu or learn more about Restaurant Linderhof, check us out online at restaurantlinderhof.com and like us on Facebook.
Looking for a different way to enjoy the Swain Event? then check out Swain Event TV, driven by Toyota Knoxville and toyotaknoxville.com. Follow the show on Periscope and Facebook Live. Don't just hear the show, see the show. That's Swain Event TV.
Whether you're hosting a cookout or just relaxing with your family, you don't want to be bothered by ants. Unfortunately, they are terrible this time of the year, and sometimes the problem can become worse with the over-the-counter sprays. Southeast Termite and Pest Control has a solution for that pesky ant issue. Whether you need a one-time treatment or monthly treatment, Southeast Termite and Pest Control has you covered. They offer different treatments for different types of ants. There's no salesman to deal with, so homeowners, you deal directly with the technician that provides the service, and the owners at Southeast Termite and Pest Control are available every day. Don't let ants interrupt your good time. Contact Southeast Termite and Pest Control at 865-925-3700 or online at southeasttermite.com.
Fellas, it's me, Jason Swain. When it came down to my health and my quality of life, knowing my numbers was essential. Guys, you may know your blood pressure and cholesterol numbers, but I have a question for you. Do you know your testosterone number? See, I know my numbers. Low T Center made it easy. You walk in, take a simple blood test, and with the convenience of their on-site lab, you'll know your results in about 20 minutes. If you've noticed a decline in energy, motivation, or even mood, you may have low testosterone. Low T levels can make you feel tired and grumpy. It can raise your cholesterol, cause weight gain, and lose muscle mass. At Low T Center, treatment is covered by most health insurance. They will even verify insurance for you. You owe it to yourself. Call 865-392-1388 or go to lowtcenter.com.
No one will be selling pre-owned vehicles for less this month than Beatty Chevrolet. Find massive pre-owned savings on over 250 vehicles. Chevys, Toyotas, Hondas, Fords, Nissans, Jeeps, Subarus, and more. Save up to 50% off original MSRP. 50% off. Like this pre-owned 16 Chevy Malibu, now $13,995. And a pre-owned 14 Hyundai Santa Fe, $15,995. Plus, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life.
Hyundai Santa Fe, stock number P6279A, now loose stock number P6311, plus tax, tax, fees. Subject to prior sales, savings include all manufacturer, dealer, incentives, and rebates. Not all buyers will qualify with the preferred seat. For details.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence.
The Swain Event.
All right, we got Chris Lowe back here on the B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline, brought to you by Jerrica Steele, personal injury attorney for Butler, Vines, and Babb. Lowe, a lot of talk about other coaches, and we got a question on the text box about a possible head coach next year. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of doing this, but I'll ask you the question because it was asked. But do you think T. Martin is ready to be a head coach next year?
Well, I love T. You know, I spent time with T two different times. This summer, I was out there in June in L.A., went by to see him. I was with my family, and I was back there in August during preseason camp and got to spend a lot of time with him, watch tape with him. And we talked about, I think T's going to be a head coach within the next year or two. I don't know, as much as I love T, and as far as we go back, that he's ready to go from being an OC to a head coach in the SEC in that first jump. You know what I mean, Jason? I mean, maybe he is, maybe he's not. But you rarely see, I shouldn't say you rarely see, Dan Mullen went from an offensive coordinator at Florida to head coach at Mississippi State.
Kirby Smart.
Kirby Smart did it. So, yeah, maybe he is. But typically guys will make that first jump. Like maybe he goes to Memphis or Arkansas State or Purdue or somewhere like that, South Alabama. You know, T's got roots, obviously, in L.A., as we say, as they sit in Alabama, lower Alabama.
Yeah.
But I tell you, he's certainly somebody that should be on Tennessee's radar because, you know, Clay Helton, his head coach at USC, told me he's never had a more complete assistant, the guy that recruits and connect and relate to players the way he does, has been really good for that. I mean, I know that they've had some issues on offense this year as far as turning the football over, et cetera. But you go back and see what they did last year down the stretch, and I still think SC's going to get it going this year before it's all said and done. But I would hope he would be on their radar. I was talking to Al Wilson last night, in fact, on the phone. We were talking about T a little bit then about how whatever happens here, whether it's this year, down the road, or whenever, that he's certainly a guy that I would think Tennessee would be very wise to take a long look at.
Yeah, that's an intriguing name there because we know his connection to the university and we know how much former Vol support that he would get.
And oh, yeah. And he'd be a killer recruiter.
Oh, yeah.
He already is.
He'd be great.
He already is. But, you know, as soon as I say that, to be fair, I mean, hasn't allegedly, supposedly Butch been a pretty good recruiter at Tennessee?
Well, T would probably keep them.
When you look at the rankings?
Well, yeah, but keeping him is just as important as getting them. I think that's the...
No, well, and I was going to finish that thought. I mean, to me, we all get caught up, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody. We look on signing day, well, they had 10th rated class, 12th, 5th, and everybody keeps up with where you know, because you get these questions too.
Yeah.
And you think we can finish in the top 10. Well, what in the heck does it matter on February the 3rd? You know, if you finish 7th or 17th or 21st, I mean, it's just as important what you do with them once you get them on campus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Saban always says, I've had this conversation with Saban a million times, you got to recruit and you got to develop. And right now, the two best teams in the country doing those two things, surprise, surprise, Alabama and Clemson.
Yep. No, you're right. You're right. Bielema, Sumlin, Butch Jones, and what's the other one that's in some
Coach O.
Orgeron.
McElwain.
I would throw McElwain.
McElwain in there as well.
Okay.
They're even though they've been able to find ways to win games, and much to Mac and Florida's credit, the fans there in Gainesville and in that state are anything but enamored with Jim McElwain right now. And I'm telling you right now, they really are. I wouldn't say the outrage is to the point or to the pitch that it is here in Tennessee, you know, to get Butch Jones out, but they would very much like to have a new head football coach. And if that thing sort of dips here the last part of the season, I could see a change there. And you know what else I could see the scenario with Florida guys is I could see McElwain saying, you know what, let's say he throws an 8-4 out there or a 9-3, and there's all this, you know, gnashing of the teeth and this restlessness. I could see him saying, you know what, I'm out of here. He's more of a West Coast guy. I could see him going to Arizona State, Arizona, if UCLA opens, somewhere just to sort of get out of there, you know, and that's another job that could be open. So if Tennessee is indeed open, and I'd say right now there's probably at least a 50-50 chance there will be, maybe more, there's going to be a lot of jobs open. So if you're Tennessee and you're out there looking for a head coach, you're going to be competing with a lot of jobs. And you guys were asking me about LSU and Orgeron, you know, and Tennessee was better. The reason LSU is a better job than Tennessee, there's about three reasons. Number one, the talent level in that state's better, okay? Number two, LSU is the school. That's the pro team outside the Saints in the state of Louisiana. Really, there's only about two other states like that. Nebraska would be like that, where everybody in that state grows up wanting to be a Tiger, you know. And I think when you look at the facilities, Tennessee's facilities have gotten a lot better too. But the facilities and the way they've got all that set up, I think LSU is one of the top six or seven jobs in the country. I would place Tennessee right now about fifth in the SEC, behind Alabama, Florida, Georgia, LSU. And maybe I think Tennessee's comparable with Texas A&M. So fifth or sixth. And some people may say Auburn is there. I think Tennessee's probably a little bit better than Auburn. But that would be my ranking right now if you ask me what are the best jobs in the SEC.
That's fair. That's fair.
Chris, I would ask you about postseason baseball, but so Swain doesn't throw something at me, I'll ask you about SEC football. What are you looking for specifically this weekend? I think it's interesting that each game this weekend kind of – each team has an interesting theme around its coach. You have Auburn and Ole Miss. I don't think Gus can afford a loss. Florida, LSU, you just mentioned McElwain and Coach O. Arkansas, South Carolina, Bielema can't afford a loss. Missouri at Kentucky, I don't think Odom or Stoops could afford a loss there. And then Kevin Sumlin needs to turn in a good performance against Alabama. What are you looking for this weekend specifically?
Yeah, I mean, all those coaches you mentioned, I mean, they're really, I mean, if everything went just right, or I guess probably more specifically just wrong for guys, you could have six jobs open in the SEC next year, or after the season, six. I know there probably won't be that many, but I could make a case that there's that many. You know, Sumlin is a guy that I give Kevin a ton of credit because, you know, when a Board of Trust member comes out after the first game or whatever it was and says, we got to fire the guy right now.
Mm, that's bad.
You know, a lot of people don't bounce back from that, but they have, you know, and they've been able to win some games and still don't think they're a great football team, but you know, they better strap it on this week because Bama comes in as a 30-point favorite there at Kyle Field. And to get embarrassed at home with the way everybody else has already sort of been calling for your job would not be good for him. I tell you, the South Carolina Arkansas game is intriguing to me because that game's in Columbia. Arkansas is about a 1 or 2 point favorite. If Arkansas goes in and wins that, you're going to hear a groundswell of negativity in and around Columbia and that South Carolina program too. And they're not going to fire Will Muschamp after 2 years because he did get into a bowl game last year. But they're starting to get restless there because they've lost some games and had some performances, you know, after that big win over NC State that you know, people are pretty upset about. So I think that's one, too. Now, and if Arkansas loses that one, it's really going to get nasty there in Fayetteville. But they owe Brett, I think if they fired him before January 1st, which you're going to make, if you're going to make a decision or make a, you know, a change, you're going to do it. You're not going to wait until January because you can't get behind eight ball to hire somebody else, plus you got recruiting. But they owe him $15.5 million.
Woo.
I mean, that's Jason Swain tax bracket right
Man.
There. $15.5 million.
Ooh, that's Chris Lowe couch money right there.
No. And I think Butch is around somewhere between 6 and 7. Now, that doesn't count his staff. And Brett doesn't even count his staff. Butch's buyout would be mitigated, though. So Tennessee wouldn't be on the hook for as much as maybe he's been out there, been reported. Let's say he goes to somewhere else and gets an offensive coordinator job or goes to the NFL or gets another head job somewhere, making $1.5 or $2 million a year, then Tennessee would be on the hook for the difference. So there is mitigation in Butch's buyout. Some of these guys, like the Malzahn's buyout, it's not mitigated. Auburn would owe him everything.
Mm.
But no, I think there's a lot of coaches to answer your question this weekend that could certainly help themselves who will win.
Big money. Chris, let me ask you this last question before we get you out of here. This is the first year of the early signing period. How do you think the early signing period will affect schools hiring and firing head coaches?
Well, I think it will, Jason. I think that's a dynamic that schools have not had to face in the past. Look at Tennessee's class. Tennessee's class right now is excellent, but you're already starting to see guys waffle, you know, that have committed to Tennessee. Some guys have already decommitted. I think some others are on the cusp of doing so. I think that's the kind of thing, as you look at this early date, that could put pressure on ADs and administrations to maybe go ahead and make a call or make a change earlier than they would have if they think that bringing in somebody else, if they think they can get somebody that they help can help save a signing class. Which, you know, you don't want to rush to judgment and bring in somebody that you're not sure about just to sort of beat that deadline. But, you know, in the realm of Tennessee or anybody else in this league, if you have one really bad recruiting class, that can set you back another 3 years or more.
Mm-hmm. You can, man. Hey, Chris, it's always great to catch up with you, man. We took a lot of your time this morning. Really, really appreciate it.
Listen, man, when you get a chance to be with royalty in Hollywood, there's no such thing as a lot of time. It's my pleasure, my friend.
Hey, man, next time when I have to call your agent to schedule an appointment to get you on the show, tell him to be a little bit nicer, man. Tell him to pick up the phone on the first ring. That'll help.
Hey, and one last thing before I'm out of here. Go, please, I ask and pray that fans out there will go online and help Jonathan Heffney out. Great, great guy for a great cause.
Absolutely. I think we've already seen a jump in the number raised just in the last 20 minutes. So that's volunteers for you. That's what we do, man. We help each other out. So, Chris, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for bringing that to light here on the show.
Absolutely. Glad to do it. You guys have a great day, all right?
You too. Chris Lowe, ESPN, here in the Swain event. His time is brought to you by Jerry Castile, personal injury attorney for Butler, Vines, and Bad. A lot of good stuff from Chris Lowe. We will take a break and digest everything that was said. And hour three is around the corner. Got plenty of things to go over. I'll talk about Todd Kelly Jr. Talk about some of the commitments and decommitments. Also, take your phone calls at 865-337-7615. Text box, Facebook Live comments. Swain Event, be right back.